I'd like to go to my message today. And my scripture reading is in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and starting with the first verse. It is actually reported that there is immorality among you, an immorality of such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. You have become arrogant and have not mourned instead, so that the one who has done this deed would be removed from your midst. For I, on my part, though absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged him who has so committed this, as though I was present. In the name of our Lord Jesus, when you are assembled, and I with you in spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus, I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your boasting is not good. You do not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world, or with the covetous and swindlers, or with idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is an immoral person, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reveler, or a drunkard, or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for these words of truth and instruction. And Heavenly Father, we know that there are many things in life and circumstances and events that we don't understand, but we call on you to help us with all of these things. And Heavenly Father, through your Holy Spirit, righteous judgment is done. And Heavenly Father, we ask for you to bless the rest of this service and help it to help each one of us as you would have. And in the name of your loving Son, Yeshua, we ask these things. And amen. And my text to you this morning is that verse 7 out of 1 Corinthians 5. And let's look at it together. Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. We know that leaven represents sin. And in this case, Paul uses the word and expressions in regard to a sinful act or a sinful person. And Paul, and it's this time of the year, around Passover, that we start thinking about sin and removal of sin from our lives and the days of unleavened bread and what they represent. And we know that Paul's words are that we should clean out the old leaven so that it does not corrupt everything else around it. Paul has heard of this particular church, and I'm sure that it's well known to Paul, the ones that are there, as it would have been one of the churches that he would have had great influence in starting and establishing. And he has not only at times visited the church personally, but he has those that help him in his work and in the ministry that also visits. And so through others, he receives reports from the church and its welfare and how it's doing. And so Paul is writing this letter to the church at Corinth. And he starts out in the first verse in chapter 1, verse number 10. Paul lets them know in his letter to them that he knows that there's something going on in their church that is not quite right. There's issues there. Conditions that should not be. And of course, all churches have these. No matter if it was 2,000 years ago or it's today. And Paul is addressing some of these issues. And specifically, this church at Corinth. And in chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul lets the church know that he has heard reports that there have been quarrels within the church. And you say, well, that's certainly no different than today. And that's for sure. Let's look at chapter 1, verse 10. Paul says, "Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by close people, that there are quarrels among you." Things that should not be. Paul knows that God wants harmony and unity within His people, within the church. And definitely quarrels and divisions should be foreign to the church, not God's will. And my message to you is Paul's words in that verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 5. Paul advises to clean out the old leaven. And I want us to think, while we're doing this message today, I want us to think about the time of year that it is, the circumstance for this particular time of the year. It is a celebration of the Passover. Many don't particularly apply celebration to Passover, but the Bible did, and ones in the Bible did. And it's very much a time of celebration and remembering. And we are to certainly celebrate the fact that God can deliver us from any problem and circumstance of our lives, just as He delivered the children of Israel from slavery by the Egyptians. That's probably the primary thing that most Christians think about when they think about Passover. Most Jewish people, for sure, Passover is deliverance season. God provided deliverance from the slavery by the Egyptians. But Paul has heard that there are circumstances in the church that he needs to address. And it obviously is close to Passover season when this happens. These circumstances, this letter is written. Paul also advises the church at Corinth that he has heard that there was a willing act of immorality, outright sin, transgression of God's commands within his word. Outright willful sinning within the church. That even the Gentiles, the dreaded Gentiles, they hated Gentiles, depending on who you were talking to. Non-Jews at certain points in history were worse than dogs in certain one's eyes. And yet within this church at Corinth, there appears to be, and was reported to Paul to be, a willing, sinful act that even the Gentiles would not be guilty of doing. One in their church had taken his father's wife as his wife. That was a sin. That was the problem. That was the thing that needed to be addressed. One in the church had taken his father's wife as his wife. Further, the church had allowed that person to remain in the church with the problem unaddressed, seemingly, and not judged, not rightly judged, because sin is the transgression of the law. And this definitely was a transgression of part of the law. You can read about it in Leviticus 18, verses 6, 7, and 8. Let's look at that and get a little bit of the foundation and the background for why this issue was brought up, why it came to Paul, why Paul wrote this letter, and what his judgment was. So let's go to Leviticus 18, verse 6. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before... 18, verse 6. Okay? None of you shall approach any blood relative of his to uncover nakedness. I am the Lord. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father, that is, the nakedness of your mother. She is your mother. You are not to uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's wife. It is your father's nakedness. Do you see? It's a violation of the law. Flagrant, openly, unaddressed, ignored. And Paul is addressing it. Paul judges, and in my text, it reads, Paul's judgment is on this issue, clean out the old leaven. Paul is judging this man to be as sin, leaven within the church, and it needed to be removed. This brother needed to be removed from the church because of this sin. The church had not reacted to it. Paul is judging rightly based on the law. Paul, in essence, is saying, don't you know what the law says? Judge according to the law. Judge righteous judgment. Don't ignore the situation or the person or what they have done. Make righteous judgment according to the law. According to the Old Testament writings. Paul, this is exactly what Paul is telling the church, one of the early Christian churches, to do. Clean out the old leaven. Put this person out that has openly done this and is in this situation now. And why is he saying to clean out the old leaven? It's the same thing as God wanting us to put leaven out of our lives at Passover time. Unleavened bread. Put leavened products out. They are representative of sin in your life. We are to constantly be trying to remove sin from our lives, all the days of our lives. And Paul is saying, if you allow this person to continue in the church, it's as if leaven is among you, sin is among you, and just like leaven will leaven the whole lump, this person being in your midst will cause bad, will cause adverse things to happen within the church. It will spread, it will influence. Sin spreads, just like leaven spreads. And Paul is saying, that's not good. It is breaking the law. It's something that God would abhor. Let's look at verse 29, David, of Leviticus 18. After talking about all these things that people should not do in all kind of circumstances, and a person taking his father's wife being one of them, and at the end of that, in verse 29, it sort of sums up and says, for whoever does any of these abominations, those persons who do so shall be cut off from among their people. You see what is involved here? They are to be put out of the congregation because of their willful, sinful act. And Paul, this is his comparison. And it is a direct reference to this law that we're speaking of, that is told in detail in Leviticus 18. Paul says, clean out the old leaven. Remove him from your midst. This one will affect others by his willful and flagrant unlawfulness. Paul also recognizes in this 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 2, Paul very much knows that there is arrogance among this church in regard to this man doing this deed and the church's reaction to it. Arrogance is related to pride. God hates pride. God wants obedience to His laws, not rebellion to His laws. Paul recognizes that there is arrogance in this church also. And in verse 2, it's obvious that their failure to recognize the sin as it is and to act upon a judgment in regard to this sin in verse 2 also. In verse 6, Paul recognizes that there is also boasting in regard to this event by people within this church. Arrogance, pride, failure to react and to act, and even boasting. Paul clarifies something that he himself had evidently caused a misunderstanding. And I think it's important when we study the Word and we study particularly Paul's writings and things that he responded to, such as this letter, that Paul recognized he himself has written a letter and his words were misinterpreted because of either his lack of going into detail. But let's look at what he's speaking of. Paul's wanting to, within this letter too, wanting to clarify. And he wants to clarify a statement within a letter that he had written to them. Let's look at verse 9 in chapter 5. Paul says, I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. Does that sound reasonable to you? Paul wrote that in a letter. Don't associate with people that break the law. Immoral people. The clarification by Paul is given in verse 10 and 11. Let's look at this. Paul says, I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or swindlers, or idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. Now let's look at the next verse. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother, and I would add sister, if he or she is an immoral person, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reveler, or a drunkard, or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. Do you see Paul's judgment of this situation and his reaction to it? He's not ignoring it. He's not letting the condition just go on and on. But he's giving a righteous judgment for the good of present and future that church at Corinth and the brothers and sisters there. Don't even eat with a person that does these things that I've just told you. Disassociate. Remove yourself. Clean out the old leaven. if it's a so-called brother or sister, and he or she is an immoral person, or covetous, or an idolater, reveler, drunkard, or swindler. That's Paul's judgment. Don't associate with the person. That's not just talking about going to church with them or removing them out of the church. It says don't associate with that person. You know why? They're going to have an influence on your life. They may make the difference in you holding on to what you've got that's good and reacting to God rightly, and you keeping on being a child of God and a brother or sister in the church. If you don't disassociate yourself with that person, they may lead you astray. They may cause you to fall or fail. Don't even associate with that person. Don't even eat with that person. Remove him from your church and yourself. Period. Are you to have anything at all to do with that person from then on, if that's the situation? Intentionally, no, you're not. You're not supposed to go hunting that person down and wanting to do this or that with a person, whatever it is. Disassociate. Remove yourself from the person. Does that mean you're supposed to treat the person bad anytime you can? Does that mean you're supposed to gossip behind their back or to their face or whatever when you got the chance? No, it doesn't. Does that mean you're supposed to avoid the person at all cost? I wouldn't think so. And I would think that you would supposed to say hi to the person if you pass them. That's what I would think. We were talking about judgment in our Sabbath lesson, in our Torah portion today, and David was explaining that very well. Went absolutely hand in hand. And unintended by me, it was not put together intentionally by me to be that way, but evidently God put it together that way. And it could not have been any better put together than what God did. And you know, after all of this is said and done, and the reports come into Paul that there are quarrels, there are divisions, there are this act of immorality, total disobedience to God's laws by this particular church, Paul makes the righteous judgment. Just as we are to make the righteous judgment of sin when we see it and know it. But I want you to know that Paul lets us know, and we're talking Paul, the one that I said sometimes is hard to understand, says some confusing things. Some people would say it almost seems contradictory. And yet I repeat to you, it's not contradictory. Paul is misunderstood. Just like Peter said that he would be and was, even at that point, even at that time, and certainly today. But many of the things that mainstream Christianity attributes to Paul is totally misunderstood, misinterpreted, misjudged, misapplied. And I want you to be aware of that. Many Christian people misunderstand Paul's intentions and his words. And you have to be very careful when you read them. And when you hear statements about other Christians. And you need to go to your Bible. And you need to search out the truth. Put line upon line and precept upon precept. And come to the truth. Recognize the truth and then live in the truth. But get the truth. Don't get someone else's interpretation of what Paul means. You know, Paul himself is saying to this church, can't you even make the smallest judgment? Can't you even get right? When someone disobeys God's laws and His statutes, and He's letting them know, don't ignore sin within the church, or period. Do something about it. If it's in your life, if it's in anyone else's life, any brother or sister in the church or outside the church. Don't ignore it. And Paul is saying to them, can't you even make the smallest of judgments? In chapter 6, let's read a little of this. And I'm closing very quickly. Does any one of you, when he has a case against his neighbor, dare to go to the law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? What are you doing going to the community or city, county court to settle your disputes? Can't you even do that yourself based on knowing what right and wrong is in God's word? Speaking of a brother or a sister? Dare to go to the law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Have you heard that before? It's coming. If the world is judged by you, are you not competent to constitute the smallest law courts? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more matters of this life? Does that sound like you're not supposed to judge anything within your life or lifetime or the church? Absolutely not. It's not saying don't judge. Do righteous judgment. Make righteous judgment as Paul did in this matter of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And know that Paul is basing what he says on the Old Testament, if we would phrase it like that. Because that's where the law is. And when the people of the New Testament, the various ones, including Jesus himself, when they made judgments, they made it on the law. The law that they had at that time. was the law that I'm speaking of, the Old Testament. It is not obsolete. It is not old. It is not passed away. It is all relevant and has relevance to us today. We're approximately 1 week before our 2011 Passover service and time. We can glean a lot of important things from this message today. And from the statement, clean out the old leaven. Remove sin from your church. Remove sin from your life. And we could close with these three things from our message today. Prepare yourselves for the Passover. Clean out the old leaven of your life. And as Paul also says in verse 8, chapter 5, 1 Corinthians, New Testament. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And God bless you. Let's say our blessings and stand everybody, and let's repeat this blessing all together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Amen. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Amen.